There was a man by the name of John Pounds, true story. He was born in 1766. He was a tall, muscular teenage laborer. He worked at the ship docks in Portsmouth, England. And he slipped and he fell from the top of a ship's mast, and he fell headfirst onto the deck below. His fellow workers got to him. He was nothing but just a bundle of broken bones. And for the next 2 years, John Pounds lay in bed as his bones began to heal, and they healed crookedly. His pain never left his body. Out of sheer boredom while he was laid up, he began to read the Bible. And after some time, after 2 years, he crawled from his bed and he began to look for something to do. He couldn't work anymore at the shipyard. His body was twisted and he was crippled and he was broken. So a shoemaker hired him to sit at the bench and to make shoes. Eventually, John made enough money to purchase his own little shop. And because of what he had learned in the scripture and because of his own life, what he had endured, he began to make shoes for crippled children. And soon his shop became literally like a little children's hospital. His burden for children grew, and it wasn't long before he began scouring the streets of Portsmouth looking for children who were poor and homeless. And he took them into a small workshop and he taught them basics like reading and writing and arithmetic skills. He would also feed them and teach them about the Lord. Sometimes he was able to get children to come to the shop just by offering them a warm baked potato on the streets. This small workshop was often host to as many as 40 children at any one time. His shop became known as the Ragged School. During his lifetime, it was said that John Pounds rescued over 500 children from the streets that were in despair. His work became so famous that a ragged school movement swept through England, and then a series of laws were passed to establish schools for poor children in John's honor. Boys' homes and girls' homes and day schools and evening schools began to be started all over England, and the legacy of that one man lives on today. Years after his death, John Pounds is still a local hero, and there's even a chapel in Portsmouth that's named after him. He was even named the Man of the Millennium by a local newspaper in 1999, and he beat out the likes of other local heroes like Admiral Lloyd Nelson and even the famous author Charles Dickens. They all took second and third place to John Pounds. One man who started out as a teenager with a broken body and no doubt some shattered dreams. But he turned his brokenness into something that gave him a purpose and a heart for helping others. Brokenness. It's not a pleasant word, is it? It's certainly not a place that we enjoy living in. And it's certainly not anything that we enjoy going through. To speak of brokenness does not conjure up images in our mind that are pleasant, does it? We think of the hurt, we think of pain. But brokenness is much deeper than that, because if we will allow it to, in time, brokenness can produce good things in our lives that don't come any other way. See, no one really chooses the path of brokenness. It's usually something that is projected onto us. But the truth is that a life with no brokenness, with no surrender, with no tenderness, is a life that God is never really able to use and bless and anoint like he would like to. A life without brokenness produces arrogance, self-sufficiency, pride, ego that spins out of control. You see, brokenness, although unpleasant, it becomes your friend, not your enemy, over time when you submit it to the Lord. In the book of Hosea, the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel who were, when you read the context of the story, they were in a place of rebellion and captivity. And Hosea, the scripture said this in Hosea 10 and 12, I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. plow up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. In the King James Version, it says that they needed to sow righteousness and they had to break up the fallow ground. The fallow ground, or the hard ground of their hearts. See, fallow ground is ground that has once been tilled and soft, good, productive ground, but over time, without rain and without tending and without tilling. Fallow ground is ground that has gotten hard and it now becomes unproductive. Fallow ground is ground that needs to be rebroken and tilled in order to become soft and pliable again. And the only way you will ever receive seed in the future, the only way you will ever produce fruit, is if the ground of your heart is continually broken before God. Now, I'm probably not going to get a lot of shouts. Nobody's going to bite chunks out of the ceiling today as a result of this sermon. But I want to help somebody today. And I want to tell you that we all have to be reminded that sometimes you've got to break up the hard ground of your hearts. Amen. We have a couple of garden boxes at my house. It's nothing fancy. But we enjoy planting a few vegetables each year. We usually plant tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, and jalapeno peppers. And it's so nice to go out, and if I can get a witness, to go out and pick your own tomato and make a BLT for a few months of the summer. I eat so many tomatoes, amen, my stomach starts rumbling, amen. But I began to notice the last couple of weeks the tomatoes have kind of stopped producing. The squash isn't coming in, and the cucumbers were looking pretty rough. And this is our second year doing this. Now, last year, I just kept hoping maybe they'd produce a few more. And I let the plants and I let the ground stay there longer than I should. And it caused me to miss out on the harvest of plants that I wanted to have in the fall. But we ended up planting anyway last year, and we ended up getting some stuff. But what I learned from the year before was I need to get all the dead stuff out of the beds. And I need to break up the ground sooner than later. So yesterday morning when I got up, I went outside and I began to rip out the old tomato plants. I picked the last dozen green ones and they're sitting in the window of my kitchen, amen. But I ripped out all the old tomato plants and I ripped out the dead squash plants and I ripped out the cucumbers. And then I started noticing all the weeds that had managed to grow up under those plants and I ripped all that out. And then I took out my hoe and I took out my pitchfork and I began to break up the ground and I began to stir up the ground. Because here's something I know, if you do not break up the ground, it cannot receive new seed. And if it cannot receive new seed, it cannot produce a new harvest. I had to till up the dirt and allow it to breathe again. Because soon, I want to plant some lettuce and some cabbage and some kale and some Brussels sprouts. Amen. See, I've learned that you have to pull up the old plants, but that's not enough. You got to pull out a few weeds. But that's still not enough. After I removed everything dead and unproductive, I had to break up the hard ground. See, folks, if you don't till the soil, the weeds grow stronger. And when the rains do come, untilled soil cannot absorb the rain. The same thing applies to our lives. The Lord said in Hosea that we have to plow up the ground of our hearts. You can't receive fresh rain until the soil of your hearts is prepared and broken. Let me say it again. You can't receive fresh rain until the soil of your hearts is prepared and broken. Unless the soil is broken up, the rain just runs off. We've got to keep the ground of our lives broken in order to be ready for the next season. Even soil that produces blessings and fruit in the past, it can still become too hard. Amen. It can become too solid to receive and to grow if you don't keep it broken. That word broken or brokenness literally means in the Hebrew language to splinter into pieces. See, it's not appealing to think of our lives in those terms. But that is exactly where God wants us to live, in a state of brokenness. I have a friend whose wife is very ill. She's battling cancer along with some other serious illnesses and sicknesses in her life. She's been in and out of the hospital, and he and I have been texting this past week. He said something on Friday that really resonated with me, and I got his permission to share with you just one little thing that he said in a text message to me. He said it this way, and I quote, he said, "It's been a crazy 3 weeks, but God is good, and it has led us through it all. I guess you can't spell through without the word rough." It doesn't mean when he sees you through it that there won't be rough times along the way. I'm just glad there are a lot of people praying that lift our family up in times of trouble. When I read those words, you can't spell through without the word rough. You can't make it through without having to endure some hard, difficult times. Thank the Lord for the family of God, right? Rough times don't have to be endured alone. Aren't you glad? You got brothers and sisters that can come alongside of you. And right now, today, as I preach, you may feel like you're living in a place of brokenness. I'm looking in the camera in case you're not in the building today. Maybe your life has dealt you some blows and it's put you in a place of brokenness. And sometimes it feels like the Lord is nowhere to be found in those times. I've been there. I know what that feels like. But rest assured, he is there. Take comfort from the word of the Lord. The Bible tells us in many places, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The Bible tells us he saves those that are crushed in spirit. The Bible tells us he will not reject a broken and repentant heart. Listen to what Isaiah said in chapter 57 and verse 15. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One, says this, "I live in the high and holy place with," are you ready? Guess what he says? "I live with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble, and I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts." Don't miss that, folks. He dwells with those who are contrite and humble. He said, when I see broken and brokenness, I'm going to heal and I'm going to restore and I'm going to embrace them and I'm going to come alongside of them. And by the way, when I say broken or brokenness, I don't mean that your life has to be a wreck. I don't mean that you have to be going through tragedy or sickness right now. Sometimes life will deal us those cards in certain seasons. We know that. And we all will face hard times, those rough times at some point in our lives. But what I am saying is we can learn to live in a state of brokenness. By how? By being contrite. By being humble. By being submitted to the Lord. I'm talking about broken egos. I'm talking about crushed ambitions. I'm talking about living on the altar of submission. And folks, hear me. These are good things. These are not bad things. Humble, repentant, submitted, loving, meek, restrained, tempered, thoughtful. All of these things mean brokenness. Those are the kind of people that I enjoy being around, don't you? And the Bible says that those are the kind of people that the Lord said in Isaiah that he loves and he loves to be with. Humble and contrite. The Lord said that place, that spirit was high and holy in his estimation. The Bible also says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 51 and verse 17 says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject, look, a broken and repentant heart, oh God. See, folks, today, he wants to restore and revive who? The contrite and the humble. And sometimes what has to be broken in our lives is our pride. Amen? Proverbs 16:19 says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23 says, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. Did you notice the difference? Both of those seem low, but it's not the same low. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. Folks, can I talk about this just for a moment? God is not pleased with our pride. And we all have it. We all have some of it. If you don't, you might have more than your neighbor. Amen. If you say you don't, amen. But let me be real. Some people have a lot more pride than other people do. And I'm just being your shepherd today. I just want to be your pastor for a moment. Amen. I don't really have time to dig deep into pride today. But it manifests itself in many ways. False humility is one of the worst ones. Isn't it? Pride can also disguise itself as confidence, as arrogance, as self-sufficiency, as self-will, as ego. Pride is the opposite of humility and grace. You know what I've learned? Proud people have a hard time saying thank you. Have you noticed that? They don't appreciate when people try to help them or do something for them. Instead of gratitude, proud people feel entitled. If you have a hard time saying thank you, you need to pray about your entitled spirit. Amen? See, proud people also feel threatened by the success or favor of others. Proud people feel like in order to succeed, they got to keep other people in their place. Proud people look down on others or they think they're better than other people. See, folks, that's the opposite of broken. That's the opposite of being humble. Living a life of brokenness doesn't mean I have to have death and disease and chaos in my life. Living a life of brokenness means remembering where you came from. Come on, somebody, and being thankful that God saved you from your sin. It means treating others, especially those less fortunate, with love and respect and dignity. Amen? It means saying thank you a lot. You know why I think thank you is so important? Thank you reminds me that somebody else just made a deposit into my life. Every time you say thank you, you're acknowledging someone just made a deposit into my life. Amen. And that I am entitled to nothing, but I am grateful for everything. God, I'm talking about living a broken life, a contrite life. Amen. If someone does something for you and you can't say thank you because of your pride and your insecurity, you need to humble yourself. You know why? None of us are self-made people. You're not the king of the hill. You're not God's gift to the world. Neither am I. You are whatever you are only by the grace of God. See, that's what being contrite means. That's what being humble means, amen? It's only the blessings of God and his mercy that we are even here today, amen? Matter of fact, I think we ought to just stop and thank God right now. Come on. God, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for everything in my life. Brokenness can actually be a place of blessedness. See, we got to strive to live our lives in a place of blessed brokenness, in a place of humility, in a place of genuine daily repentance and gratitude. See, God's not seeking our perfection, but he longs for purity of intentions, purity of motives, purity of purpose. Folks, you are not yet broken if you cannot completely rely on him. You are not yet broken if everything you have does not belong to him. You are not yet broken if you can't submit to God in all matters of your life. You are not broken if you feel pride or dominion over others, or you feel better than the people that are around you. Come on, somebody. You are not broken if you cannot submit to authority in your life and you can't love other people, even the people that rub you the wrong way. Come on, amen. There's no better test for your spirit than being around people that you don't like. I'm just keeping it real, amen? Come on. You are not broken if your will and your lifestyle runs counter to God's will and his plan for your life. So what should we do? Should we just quit? Should we throw in the towel? No, we should throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Come on and rely on his mercy and grace. We need to constantly pray the prayer of David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. You need to fall on the rock so the rock doesn't have to fall on you. Acknowledge that you need God's grace in your life. And the way to get it is through brokenness. The Bible tells us in James 4 and verse 6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4 and verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and what? He will lift you up. See, sometimes being broken feels like you've been stripped down to nothing. And you may feel that nothing disqualifies you. You may feel that you don't offer anything to God. But here's the good news. Nothing is all that God needs. He specializes in turning nothing into something. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was what? Without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Notice what it said, without form, void. Sounds bad, doesn't it? No, not with God. Great beginnings always start with void. Nothing. In the beginning, the earth was formless and empty. There was darkness everywhere, but the Bible says in the midst of the darkness and emptiness, God was there. And when God created the earth, there was no dirt and steel and grass and trees that the master used. It was emptiness. But folks, that's how God works. He spoke the waters into existence. And then once the waters were there, he spoke the fish into existence. But before the fish, there had to be water. And before the water, there had to be nothing. Spoke the earth into existence, and from the earth he scooped out a clump of dust and he created a man. But it all started with nothing. Martin Luther once said this. He said, never are men more unfit than when they think themselves most fit and best prepared for their duty. And men are never more fit than when most humbled and shamed under a sense of their unfitness. See, some people want God's miracle work and creativity to spring forth in their life, and you want the dirt and the sea and the mountains to appear, but God's waiting for you to till up the hard ground of your heart. I'm talking to somebody today. You're ready for trees and bushes and landscaping, and God said, I can't. The ground is too hard. You're ready for fruit, you're ready for apples, you're ready for tomatoes, you're ready for corn, cabbage, and peas. And God says, first you've got to bust up the ground of your heart. You're ready for fresh rain, fresh anointing, fresh oil. And God says, I've been sending it, but it's been running off the surface because the ground is too hard to absorb. The ground only repels what I'm sending. You need to break up the hard ground of your heart. I want somebody today to know you need to give God some broken dirt, a softened heart. Go back to nothing so he can renew his creative work in your life. Folks, if you can get back to a place of broken submission and humility, if we can get back to a place of being real with God and not just playing our little church Christian game. Come on. This isn't just an add-on, amen. This is my life. If we can just begin there, a place in the spirit where we pursue not the blessings, but we pursue a place where we end fleshly control, where we crucify our pride, where we say, Lord, I give you my self-will in exchange for your will. Lord, I want to do what Hosea said, plow up the ground of my heart. And look what it said, so I can seek you and you can come and shower righteousness and fresh rain on my life. See, I want to get to a place where I don't only put my personal agenda on the altar, but I learned that I can leave it there. I cannot tell you how many thousands of times I've laid my agenda on the altar. You want to know why I have to keep laying it there? Because I keep picking it back up. If you leave it there, you never have to pick it up again. Amen. John 12 and verse 24 says, very truly I tell you, Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it's never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it's buried and it's broken and the conditions are right, it will sprout and reproduce itself many, many times over. If you try to save the grain of corn and preserve it and protect it, if you don't allow it to become broken, guess what? You've got one grain that eventually becomes incapable of producing. And you can't just throw it on the ground either. Amen? It takes broken soil to produce a crop. Broken clouds to produce rain. Broken grain to give bread. And broken bread to give strength to the body. Broken, 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 broken. None of it happens without brokenness, without broken ground. God is saying today that you don't have to give me something to work with. Give me nothing to work with. And let me show you what I can do with nothing. God created, but it was in the midst of without form and void that he did his work. It was a broken Moses who was able to lead Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. It was a broken Apostle Peter after he had cursed and denied the Lord and wept bitterly, who returned with greater authority and effectiveness than he ever could have imagined, who preached the first Christian sermon on the day of Pentecost. It was a broken Saul, the persecutor, who becomes the Apostle Paul, the missionary and writer of 2/3 of the New Testament. I'd like you to stand with me all over this house. Praise team, come on up. Jesus declared in Luke chapter 9, verse 24, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What did Jesus say? Lose yourself. There are a lot of things that will keep us from truly dying, but we need to lose ourselves. Amen? See, you'll never know true blessing until you embrace the plowing of the ground. Pastor, my problem, you might say today, my problem isn't being broken. My problem is that I feel so broken that I can't even breathe. And there's some of you right now that are in that place. I feel your pain. I've been feeling it for the last 3 days, ever since the Lord spoke to me about today. For those of you who feel smothered in your pain, the best place to bring a broken spirit is to the feet of Jesus. Come on, he can reshape your life into something unexpected as you spill out your life for him, as well as change the lives of others. I think back about John Pounds, 19 years old, crippled, teenage boy. Everything crushed, everything gone for 2 years, laying in that bed. I wonder how much of that time was because of a broken body and how much of that time was because of a broken spirit. But he was there nonetheless. Until he finally said, I gotta get up and do something with my broken life. And I gotta use my brokenness to help other broken people. Here's my prayer for you when you come to the altar today, and I'm getting ready to open this altar. And I'm gonna open this up, before I read the scripture, I'm gonna open this altar to those who are broken and crushed and barely able to breathe, but I'm also going to open this altar to the rest of us who need to say, you know what, Lord? My heart is a little hard. My spirit is a little calloused. And so today, God, I ask you to break up the hard ground in my heart. Those little roots of prejudice that keep trying to pop up. Those little roots of anger, or lust, or envy, jealousy, that keep trying to dry up the anointing and harden my heart. Those little things in me that I struggle with that I know are not pleasing to you, God. Today, I get out the rake and I get out the plow. I get out the tiller, and God, I just ask you, cultivate the soil of my heart. And here's the scripture I want to speak over you today. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for he makes the storm clouds. He will send showers of rain, so every field becomes a lush pasture. Now, I don't want you to miss something significant about this verse. It says, ask the Lord for rain in the spring. You're asking God for rain that you already know is coming in the spring. Don't miss this. It means I'm still acknowledging you, God, even in my season of blessing. It's raining, and I'm still going to ask you to keep sending me rain. I'm blessed, and I know that I am, but Lord, thank you for the rain in the spring. For he makes the storm clouds, and he's going to send showers of rain. And here's my prayer, so that every field becomes a lush pasture. Those of you who are broken and those of you who need to be more broken, I want your field to become a lush pasture. So I'm inviting you right now to step out from where you are. And I want you to come to the front. And we're going to begin to pray for a moment. And before you guys start singing, I want us to just take about a minute. This is going to be different. It's going to feel different. It's going to feel a little awkward. I want them, the band, just to keep playing. Keep playing, band. And I want you to begin to talk to the Lord. I want us to have just a moment where we can think, God, what do I need to lay at this altar right now? What hard part of my heart? Who do I need to forgive? There's this one thing, and it's a stone in my heart. God, I'm ready to crush it. I'm ready to bury it. There's this one thing that keeps tripping me up. It's a hardness in my spirit, God, and I'll lay it on this altar today. I want to fall on you. I want to submit myself to you. Go ahead and pray right where you're at. Hallelujah. 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 Break up the ground of my heart. Come on, somebody needs to reconcile with a family member. Somebody needs to forgive somebody so you can be broken and that the rain can be poured into your spirit. Yes. God, forgive me of my pride. Forgive me of my arrogance. Forgive me of my self-sufficiency. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm entitled and not grateful. Forgive me when I'm selfish and not serving. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm flesh and not spirit. Place. This is beautiful. Just begin to cry out to God. Begin to cry out to God. That's it. Yes. Yes. Come on. I want this to be an anointed moment for somebody right now. Yes. Create in me a clean heart. That's it. Plow the ground. We're plowing ground right now. Sometimes it's hard work to plow. Go ahead and plow the ground. Plow the ground. Pull up the dead things by the roots. I'm pulling it up. I'm discarding it. I'm plowing the ground. I'm doing the hard work today, God. Lord. You. Lord, I pray by faith right now that every field becomes a lush pasture. I pray that every broken place is filled with fresh oil, fresh anointing, and your righteousness. I pray, Lord Jesus, today that you would heal every wound, that every raw wound would become a scar that becomes a testimony of your healing work in our lives. I pray, Lord, for restoration of broken people and broken dreams. I pray, Lord, that you will teach us to trust you even when we don't understand. I pray that you would give me the courage to embrace broken things and broken people and brokenness in my own life. Lord, I know that your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and some things I'm not going to understand until I make it to the other side. But Lord, I just want you to know I trust you in the process. And God, I just pray that I would be humble and contrite, and that I can dwell with you in the high and holy place of your favor and blessing. That's our prayer today. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore your Holy Spirit to me. In Jesus' name. Can we all praise him together? Can we do that? Can you do that? Just take a moment. Oh, I praise you, mighty God. Come on, with all your might, can you lift your voice? Lift your hands. God, I give you glory.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.